Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Empowering Family Caregivers Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Meghna Rao, your host for today's show, sponsored by ecarediary.com. Today, we will talk about journaling to cope with caregiving challenges. And to help shed light on this, I'm very pleased to introduce our distinguished guest, Linda Perhans. Linda is a national speaker on caregiver advocacy and the author of Good Night and God Bless. The book is a heartfelt story about the joy and challenges about caring for a parent. As an expert in caregiver advocacy, Linda has facilitated over 600 support groups and workshops for caregivers. She's been on our show before, and we're very happy to welcome her once again. Thank you so much for joining us, Linda.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Great. So today's topic is certainly special because as we are getting to the end of the year, a lot of caregivers, I'm sure, are feeling overwhelmed and stressed and just, you know, burdened with all that they've been through and probably, you know, just feeling sad and figuring ways to deal with challenges for the new year. So, Linda, let's just get right to it. Can you begin by letting us know what would be the benefits of starting a journal?
Well, I think the first thing is it can help you think more clearly. You can get all that mess that's rattling around in your head out and down on paper. Once that frustration has left, then you can make an informed decision based on facts, not feelings. It can also help you live in peace. There are so many little irritations during a day of caregiving, but not everything needs to be approached and dealt with. Some things are just bothersome, but they're still weighing on your mind. But you can get them out on paper and then let them go. Another benefit is that you can chronicle a life well spent. When a loved one is gone, your journal is a record of the good days and the bad days of their life with you. Don't always use your journal to write down frustrations, but it's important also to write down the cherished moments that you don't want to forget. And journaling is therapeutic and beneficial. For caregivers, it's a way to stay sane while doing a rewarding yet sometimes exhausting service.
Mm-hmm. Now, for people for whom this is an absolutely new kind of venture, can you tell us when you start journaling, is it a requirement to journal every day?
It's not a requirement, but it's very, very important because journaling involves getting those feelings out of your head and your heart and placing them someplace that's safe. And the physicality of writing about your feelings begins the process of exploration and eventually resolution and stress relief. So
right.
I encourage people to do it daily.
Right. So how should one really get started with the process? What are the first few steps that someone would take if they wanted to get going?
Well, the first thing they need to do is get a nice notebook or a journal. This is important because you'll be writing it on a regular basis. You want to choose something that is inviting and upbeat, so you look forward to writing. And many caregivers have more than one journal. When I was going through my experience with my mom, and even today, I have one journal that is called my frustrated journal, where I can let out feelings of frustration. Then I have another journal that's my joy journal, and that's where I write down the joyful things that happen during the day and during my caregiving experiences. You can put them both in one book if you want, but I suggest two separate ones. And you need to be consistent. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Please, go ahead. Sorry.
I just wanted to say you need to be consistent and write daily, even if you only write a few sentences or just a few words. I mean, there have been days I've opened my journal and wrote down, I don't know what to write. Be sure to date it also so you can track the changes you are going through. This often becomes important later as you move through your feelings and go through any trauma with the person you're caring for. And the most important thing also is to be honest and frank about what you're feeling. These pages are for your eyes only. if you're having a particularly stressful day of taking care of someone while trying to maintain your family life, just get it out. Use that paper as a form of therapy. Those feelings have to go somewhere, and it's better to express your frustration or hurt on paper than with other harmful expressions such as overeating or arguing with your spouse or children or yelling at your sick loved one. So you can use your journal to vent your frustrations.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times caregiving days are not full of happiness and joy. There are a lot of issues that need to be taken care of, and it's not always easy. A lot of feelings are pent up when, you're taking care of someone who may not be responding well to your gestures, and anger is a big part of the caregiving process. Is it okay to journal when you're angry?
Most definitely. Journaling when you're angry, you can begin to process the internal simmering anger that's in your body and your mind. The journal is your special private place to record your thoughts and feelings. And you should keep it with you at all times and be on the lookout for anything that makes you feel irritable, frustrated, or annoyed. Because as soon as you can let those emotions, as soon as you feel those emotions arising in you, you need to jot them down. I suggest that you make a note of where you are, write down how you feel, and write about what you think prompted your feelings. And I think in a very short time, you will notice that you'll develop a natural consciousness, awareness of what irritates you. And that awareness will bring issues to the surface where you can deal with them rather than just leave them simmering inside. The idea behind writing down your thoughts and feelings is not to increase your sense of frustration or injustice, but to externalize what's been lurking beneath the surface so that it can be heard and then resolved. Until we know what we feel, we can't go through the process of dealing with it.
Mm-hmm. What if you're tempted to vent only about the negative experiences? Would reading about it at a later point, say, if you're at a more peaceful stage in your life, would it be detrimental?
It wouldn't be detrimental, but I think it's important to write down the feelings when you're having the feelings, because
mm-hmm.
that's your true feeling of how you're feeling at that moment. And if you keep brushing that aside and just writing down when you're in a happy mood or a calm mood, you're going to miss out
mm-hmm.
on how you can departmentalize those feelings and really do something about resolving those issues.
And would reading about, all the negative stuff that you've written about, would that kind of bring you down? Would you advise someone to read about that stuff when, you've kind of reached a more happy stage?
Oh, yes. After you've written them down, it's best to go back when you're in a calm state of mind, because
mm-hmm.
You know how it is when you're angry about something. You can feel your blood pressure rising. Your heart's palpitating. But
right.
when you can look at that later on, when you're calmed down, you can say, maybe I see a pattern here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I see something that's consistently happening. And if that's consistently happening and you can realize it, then you can do something to change it instead of just keep stuffing it in.
Right. Now, some people try to procrastinate journaling primarily because either they're not comfortable with the process, it's new to them, or they just have so many things to do, they always push it aside. Could you suggest some ways to encourage a caregiver to start a journal?
Well, all caregivers are busy, 24/7, we know that. But one of the
mm-hmm.
most important things for caregivers is to take some time for themselves. So I suggest that they schedule a time. I journal many times at like 5 o'clock in the morning when it's quiet
mm-hmm.
and there's no one else around.
Right.
Or in the evening when my loved one would be sleeping, and that would be some time. Now, during the day, things might happen where I might just jot down a few words, but then I can
mm-hmm.
look at it later on. You know, I had a woman come into a support group about a year ago, and she was the only woman that showed up that day. And I always say, who's ever supposed to be there is supposed to be there. And she was weeping her her mom had recently passed away, and her parents had just moved down to Florida like 3 months previously. She had lived in Georgia, so she had never even been to Florida. She was having some of her own problems in Georgia, some financial problems. She was single, so the family decided, okay, you should move down to Florida and take care of Dad. I call them the designated daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And so she moved down here and didn't even know where the supermarket was. And she came in, she was so frustrated, and her father was so very angry, and she didn't know what to do. And we talked for about 2 hours, and she started coming to some of my support groups and workshops, and she called me about 6 months later and said, I just have to tell you this story, Linda. She said, my sister came to visit, and when her sister saw her, she said, you look wonderful. What have you been doing? Because when she had saw her a few months previous to that, she was just a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, I've been going out every single day. I take 1 hour a day to go out and just walk. She said, I don't care if it's raining. I don't care if it's cold. I don't care what it is. I take that 1 hour each day to just go out and take a walk. And her dad was sitting there, and her dad said, well, isn't that nice for you? And the sister
mm-hmm.
said, okay. She said, well, what else have you been doing? She says, well, I found out about resources that have helped me with a lot of different things. I know my way around the area. I know my way around the doctors now because I've been to all the different doctors. And that's really
mm-hmm.
helped a lot. And her dad made another snide comment. He said something like, well, isn't that just wonderful? So the sister said, you know, Dad, I just came to try to have a nice visit. If you're going to be so negative, we're going to go into the other room. And the dad said, go ahead, go. And they went into the
mm-hmm.
other room, but the dad still kept listening. And she said, one of the best things is I've been journaling. She said, I can get my feelings out in a non-judgmental area. I can share if I want to. I don't have to. It's my own private space. And the dad yelled from the other room, well, isn't it nice somebody can get their feelings out? So the two daughters went in
and
they said,
funny.
They said, Dad, we want to help you in any way we can. Do you think, Dad, maybe you'd like to journal? Because years ago he used to do some writing. So he said, maybe. So they gave him a book, and they said about 3 hours later he wrote down a sentence, and a couple hours later he wrote down another sentence, and he did this for 2 days. And then he
mm-hmm.
took the book and he said, here, you want to see how I feel? And they opened up the book and it said, I am so tired. I am so tired of being a burden to my family. I am so tired of taking so many pills. I am so tired of not being able to go out. I'm so tired. And the last line was, oh, my God, I'm just so tired. And the daughters felt heartbroken. And they said, Dad, let's look at this. You are not a burden to us. You held down 3 jobs when we were kids. We want to do anything we can to help you. You know what, Dad? Maybe you are taking too many pills. Maybe we need to go to the doctors and see if we can make some changes with that. And they went down and they addressed every single issue that he had written down. She said, my dad wants to know, can he come to your journaling workshop next week? I said, he sure can. And she pushed him in his wheelchair. He was a little 90-year-old Italian man from Brooklyn, and he brought me the best meatballs I ever had in my life. And he told his story. He told his story, and then he said, do you want to hear my journal now? And he opened it up, and he said, I am grateful that I have a family that takes care of me. I'm grateful that I'm not taking any more pills. I'm grateful when my daughter goes for her walk, I can go with her. I am grateful. She said, Linda, everything has changed in the household.
Oh, my God. So, that is the most touching story I've ever heard. That is so beautiful.
And so journaling can not only help the caregiver, sometimes it can help the person you're caring for also. Because they've got all those feelings going around in their head, too.
Yeah.
And many times
yeah.
we don't think about that. We're just thinking about our frustrations and our problems. So I encourage caregivers, you know, if you decide to start journaling, you might want to see if your loved one wants to do some journaling or maybe even a tape recording. because many times they can't write or they can't write well, but they could talk into a little tape recorder about their feelings.
That is certainly a very, very encouraging story. I'm sure a lot of people, because the situation that you just explained is so commonplace, because I feel everyone goes through this at some point, and this is, it's just like you said, there's so many feelings that are unsaid, and this incident that you just mentioned just, you know, made it so, I was heartbroken when you mentioned the part about him writing that he felt tired and, you know, that's all he could write about in the journal. That is so sad, but that is fantastic. So this story itself is a huge encouragement for all those who are trying to not do this. So thank you so much, Linda. And
he's even writing short stories now from when he was a child.
Oh,
because,
God,
you know, there's a
fantastic
whole history of our elders that we're going to lose if we don't start speaking about it.
Right. Now, when, this incident where you mentioned where the father showed what he had written to his daughter, should we discuss what is written in our journal with others?
It is up to you, but I think most people that journal want to keep that private place for themselves. But sometimes when we do journaling workshops, they decide to share, just to really verbalize their feelings, not just write it down. And when they do that, they find, oh, my goodness, I'm not the only one feeling this way. And they also sometimes find solutions, because they can write down something that they're frustrated about and share it, and then someone else will say, well, did you ever try this? This might work for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be a way also to find some solutions. But as I said, it's up to each individual. So, you know, there are journals that I have that I would share with people. There are journals I have I don't want anybody to ever see.
Okay.
And there are journals that I have that are beautifully handwritten, lovely. And then there are ones that are scribbled and cried on and crossed out. One of the things I will say, when you're journaling, though, don't worry about punctuation. Don't worry about spelling. Just get it out.
That's great advice. Now, how could one use their journal to move forward and not just brood about all the sad stuff that has happened?
Well, you know, I think journaling is the analogy I like is that it's a very sturdy ladder out of a pit. Because even though there's a pit there, there's a way out that is safe and strong and dependable. That when, you know, that all you have to do when you are in this pit is to remember that writing is there and use it in a way to find freedom and safety. Because many times caregivers feel like, I don't have any way out of this situation. I feel trapped. I feel everything is my responsibility. So many times caregivers think that taking care of their loved one is only their responsibility. After all, this is my mother, my father, my spouse, my child, whoever it is. And it's only their responsibility. No, it takes a village to bring up a child. It takes a village to take care of a parent. And I think when we realize that, and then also, you know, get help from others and go to journaling workshops and go to support groups, that the burden just becomes so less stressful. I received an email just this morning from a woman who's been coming to one of my groups for over a year, and in the email, she told me that her mom passed away very peacefully on Thanksgiving. And she said to me, Linda, I can't tell you how coming to the support groups and the journaling workshops saved my life. She said, I felt like I was drowning. And by going to the support groups and the workshops, I was a better caregiver for my mother. And who could ask for anything more than that? Because we all want to be the best caregiver we can.
Absolutely.
You know, there are so many benefits of it, and people say, I don't know how to write. I'm not a writer. You know, you don't have to be a writer. You just have to be a person that wants to get your feelings out. And then there's the joyful parts of it, because when I was journaling, when I took care of my mother, there are things that I wrote down in that journal that I would never have remembered later on if I hadn't written them down. Some of the joyful things, some of the funny things my mom said. You'll never remember it all. So if you take those time to write down the joyful things, you'll be like, hey, I am doing a pretty good job. Hey, you know what? Maybe this isn't so tough. You know, one of the things that I do is I carry around in my car what I call a joy journal, just a little journal that I keep in my car. And when I see something joyful during the day, I pull over my car on the side of the road, and I'll write it down. And people say to me, you actually pull over to the side of the road? I said, you know what? I actually think I deserve 5 minutes of joy, maybe 3 times a day. And when I get home from work at night, because I'm a caregiver, I have custody of my 2 grandchildren. I'm a caregiver for a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old. And that can be a little challenging, too. And when I come home from work at night, before I come into the house, I just open up the joy journal and I read the joyful things that happened during the day. And it just sets the tone. Another thing is you'll find that when you start doing that, you'll start looking for things that are joyful instead of looking and thinking about things that aren't joyful.
That is a fantastic perspective to understand, Linda. And thank you so much for sharing this with us. It has been such a pleasure having you as a guest. I want to share your website address with our audience members so they could visit your website and get all the other information related to the work that you've done and the book that you've written. So you can learn more about Linda. Yes, you can learn more about Linda through her website, www.lindaburhans.com. That is B-U-R-H-A-N-S. And there's another website for her, which is www.harmonyhh.com. Once again, it's harmonyhh.com. I'd like to thank our audience for tuning in today. Join us next time on Tuesday, December 10th at 2 p.m. Eastern for our live online support group created by and for caregivers and moderated by Marjorie Papp, eCare Diaries caregiving expert. She will be speaking to Dr. John Guarneri, Chairman of Healthcare and Spirituality at the Florida Hospital, as also about maintaining family rituals and traditions during holidays to make it a joyful affair. To learn more about eCare Diary and our upcoming shows, visit www.ecarediary.com. Registration is free and gives you immediate access to your personal care diary tool. You can also find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And my Twitter address is ecare_diary. Thank you, Linda, for joining us, and thank you to our audience. Have a great day.
Thanks so much. Have a delicious day.